The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
That the United States is keeping the whole world afloat. Many places, I could give you six, seven places just in the people in this little area. I know every one of them. They're looking down. They don't want to see me. They don't want to stare me in the eyes. But they're taking advantage of, everybody took advantage of the United States. But I've been very fair.
This is all great news, and it's great for all nations. The USA is the economic engine on the planet. And when America booms, the entire world booms. It's been the history. When it goes bad, it goes bad. You all follow us down and you follow us up. And we're at a point that I don't believe we've ever been. I never thought we could do it this quickly. My biggest surprise is I thought it would take more than a year. And then after the war, which we won it big. Without us, right now, you'd all be speaking German and a little Japanese, perhaps. After the war, we gave Greenland back to Denmark. How stupid were we to do that? But we did it. But we gave it back. But how ungrateful are they now? What does the United States get out of all of this work, all of this money, other than death, destruction, and massive amounts of cash going to people who don't appreciate what we do? They don't appreciate what we do. I'm talking about NATO. I'm talking about Europe. They have to work on Ukraine. We don't. The United States is very far away. We have a big, beautiful ocean separating us. We have nothing to do with it. Until I came along, NATO was only supposed to pay 2% of GDP, but they weren't paying. Most of the countries weren't paying anything. The United States was paying for virtually 100% of NATO. And I got that stopped. I said, that's not fair. But then more importantly, I got NATO to pay 5%, and now they were paying, and now they are paying. So something nobody said was possible. This afternoon, I want to discuss how we have achieved this economic miracle, how we intend to raise living standards for our citizens to levels never seen before, and perhaps how you too and the places where you come from can do much better by following what we're doing, because certain places in Europe are not even recognizable, frankly, anymore. They're not recognizable. And we can argue about it, but there's no argument. Friends come back from different places. I don't want to insult anybody. And say, I don't recognize it. And that's not in a positive way. That's in a very negative way. And I love Europe, and I want to see Europe go good. But it's not heading in the right direction. Because of my landslide election victory, the United States avoided the catastrophic energy collapse which befell every European nation that pursued the Green New Scam. Here in Europe, we've seen the fate that the radical left tried to impose on America. They tried very hard. Germany now generates 22% less electricity than it did in 2017. And it's not the current chancellor's fault. He's solving the problem. He's going to do a great job. But what they did before he got there, I guess that's why he got there. And we believe deeply in the bonds we share with Europe as a civilization. I want to see it do great. That's why issues like energy, trade, immigration, and economic growth must be central concerns to anyone who wants to see a strong and united West. Because Europe and those countries have to do their thing. They have to get out of the culture that they've created over the last 10 years. It's horrible what they're doing to themselves. They're destroying themselves. It's beautiful, beautiful places. We want strong allies, not seriously weakened ones. We want Europe to be strong.
We want Europe to be strong. He's going to get his wish. That's for sure. I mean, what a sharp break. from Europe, or a separation between U.S. and European relations. And NATO, NATO's effectively blown up. It's unbelievable. Yesterday on the show, we talked about all that has happened in just 1 year. There's so many takeaways from this Davos conference and now from President Trump's speech earlier today. We'll get to that and much more on the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Just to rattle off some of the takeaways. Firstly, and we'll get to this soon, Donald Trump's pride. Mr. Hilliker in the morning brief addresses that. I mean, a certain amount of pride in our power has returned because of the resurgence, because God intervened to save America. He saw the bitter affliction. God has used Donald Trump as an instrument. That's true. And as Mr. Hilliker says in the brief, I mean, the list of accomplishments, there's quite a few of them. But as you'll see here in a second, I mean, he's taking full credit for all of them. I mean, the amount of pride and arrogance that's on display, it's stunning. We'll come to that, as I say. But another takeaway, I mean, how much can you possibly underestimate Germany and Europe? I mean, yes, he's dealing with a lot of technocrats, a lot of globalist elites. And another takeaway is that a lot of what he's saying is true. It's just so combative and adversarial. It's Europe's wake-up call, for sure. And you'll hear that in some of the other clips we play here in just a second as well. A new world economy, that's being discussed this week as well. There's another takeaway, an important story from the Wall Street Journal today. Countries, even like Canada, are turning to other partners besides the United States. And you heard yesterday from those clips that, you know, once the dollar wasn't pegged to gold back in 1971, I mean, you just see the U.S. currency getting weaker and weaker and weaker over time. And yet the confidence, whether it's him or Besant, that the economy is just going to be booming. I mean, we're adding like $6 billion to the federal debt every single day. $38 trillion in debt. And then we talk as if there's no problem whatsoever. That the party's just going to continue. This has been quite the week. In the first place that I want to start, I'll get to the pride thing in just a second, but sometimes it takes, you know, a day or two for the dust to settle, you know, before we realize the real significant events that happened around January the 16th. And Richard Palmer had an article we posted on Monday that just takes you right through it. Greenland and all the other hot spots. Mercosur, the trade deals, freezing out America, soon to be Britain as well. But January 16th was basically the day that NATO died. It may be there in name only for a little while longer, but NATO died on that day. And you see it this week. Donald Trump saying, yeah, I mean, I think I've rebuilt NATO. I trust NATO, but I don't think NATO trusts America. Well, that's not a good sign of a healthy relationship. But if you look at what happened last week with Greenland, and then the operation, as small as it was, those European troops, German troops going to Greenland for that three-day operation, and we've had a lot to say about it. We've written a lot. We've got another article coming up on the website just today, if it's not already there. To quote thetrumpet.com, after contentious talks between Danish and American officials on January 15th, that's last week, last Thursday, a spokesman for EU Foreign Affairs said that in the event of a violent conflict over Greenland, Germany and the other EU states, Germany and the EU states would be required to assist Denmark's request because Greenland is part of Denmark's territory and thus falls under the Mutual Solidarity Clause of Article 42 of the Treaty on the European Union. So just never mind that all the nations at play here are NATO members. Now it's the European Union. And everything about that operation, as small as it might have been, and it was more about the optics than anything else, but sending 15 German soldiers over to Greenland on January the 16th, this was not a NATO operation. This was an operation in opposition to the nation that's been heading up NATO since the end of World War II. That would be the United States of America. That's why you see such a combative tone, not just from President Trump, from Carney, from European leaders, Ursula. They're giving speeches in such an adversarial tone. Where is this leading? Are we underestimating Germany? We certainly are. I mean, we've essentially been at war with Germany for a century. There have been a couple of recesses here and there. This last one maybe has gone on long enough. Why? Well, because the United States, through NATO, basically occupies Europe. All those bases all over Europe and the missiles and the military, the show of force. Well, now that's on the way out. Now NATO's blowing up. Now they're looking to Asia. They're looking to Latin America. So is Canada. They see the bad orange man, Orange Hitler. They see him as, you know, the Putin that's out west. You've got Putin to the east, and now you've got Trump to the west. These are significant developments. Yes, the operation was just 3 days, but those German troops heading abroad to Greenland, of all places. That's a sign that NATO's over. It's finished. You know, another takeaway from all of this, and this is something that you only get on the Trumpet Daily or at thetrumpet.com. Another takeaway, this is what's discussed behind closed doors. Germany wants war. They want another round. They do. And we know this from Bible prophecy. We know this from history. We know this from declassified documents. It just went underground. It was just out of sight. It's kind of like I've been saying with the angels and the demons. We've been discussing this in Fundamentals of Theology. But Herbert Armstrong makes the point in Mystery of the Ages that, you know, people don't believe in the spirit world because it's invisible. But in fact, the spirit world's more real than the physical because it came out of the spirit realm. God created it. Just because the beast power is underground and seemingly invisible doesn't mean it isn't there. It's there, and it's about to come into full view. Like I say, dealing with the technocrats, a lot of what he's saying is true. He's saying it right to their faces. They're looking down, going by what Trump says. But dealing with the Daniel 8 man is going to be very different. That's not going to be a globalist technocrat. That's Europe's strongman. And we've been preparing you for his arrival for decades. And so this break in the transatlantic relationship, it is huge. As I said on yesterday's show, I mean, this is a president that's done more. I mean, his number one accomplishment over the past 12 months, if you just look at it prophetically, is to open the way for, as he declared, a strong Europe. He wants a strong Europe, and he's about to get one. He thinks that a strong Europe is going to be a strong ally for the United States. But look at what's happened just in the last week. Look at what's going on over Greenland. Look at the tone, the combative tone of all these speeches. You have to see where this is headed. This was President Trump earlier today as well, clip 12.
But the problem with NATO is that we'll be there for them 100%. But I'm not sure that they'd be there for us. If we gave them the call, gentlemen, we are being attacked. We're under attack by such and such a nation. I know them all very well. I'm not sure that they'd be there. I know we'd be there for them. I don't know that they'd be there for us. So with all of the money we expend, with all of the blood, sweat, and tears, I don't know that they'd be there for us. They're not there for us on Iceland, that I can tell you.
They're not there for us. I mean, in so many ways, America is NATO. America's been, that's how, NATO's the way America's pretty much occupied parts of Europe with all those U.S. bases. We'll be there for NATO, but I don't think NATO's going to be there for us. Well, are you listening to yourself? Because you're the same one that says, hey, we want to see Germany build a new military machine, a war machine. Now, maybe not too much, but yeah, go ahead. We like strong Europe. And then at the same time, you hear statements like that. It's over. The NATO alliance is over. It's finished. The Wall Street Journal. Europe has understood for years that it needs to do more for its own security, and it has begun rearming, prompted both by U.S. pressure and by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But until this past year, Europe's capitals were aiming for a more equal partnership with Washington within the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Now they're watching the future of that partnership crumble. Yes, indeed. I mean, we have had so many articles. It's just like saying Britain is not going to be part of this union of nations in Europe. And there you go. Britain pulls out in 2016. I think we actually, I can remember an instance where a non-member of our church said that, well, if Britain's ever on the outside looking in, then maybe I'll consider your organization. Well, what will it take? What's next? We've been talking about the NATO alliance crumbling for decades. It has to. Because these two, Germany and the United States, they're adversaries. Germany wants war. That's the truth. And I'll get to that from a 2018 article we wrote. My father did. What, 8, 9, 10 years ago? This past weekend felt like a turning point. The director general of the London-based defense studies think tank says, Ellis said it was remarkable to see thousands of people in both Greenland and Denmark, long among the U.S. closest allies, protesting the U.S.'s actions. No longer friends, now enemies, you see, just as the Bible prophesies. It's pretty amazing. I mean, Donald Trump is severely underestimating Europe's strength, or it's gaining strength. And at the same time, I mean, he's waking them up. And I'll get to that section in just a minute as well. This is from the Morning Brief. While restoring the pride in our power, President Trump is falling victim to another very dangerous form of pride. Here again. The Bible has a lot to say about this. Listen to this from also from Davos this morning, clip 13.
I did a lot of big things, all perfectly executed. Everyone was perfectly executed. Somebody told me that, a military expert told me, sir, everything you've done has been perfectly executed. I said, I know.
Everything perfectly executed? Mr. Hilliker says he has always been a prideful man. Lately, this has been erupting into unbridled arrogance and hubris, boasting of his accomplishments, scoffing at any and all criticism or naysaying, elevating himself beyond history's greatest luminaries. Meanwhile, I think he told in the roundtable after his speech that if Washington or Lincoln came back, they wouldn't be able to beat Donald Trump. Pretty amazing. Meanwhile, insulting other nations, humiliating and bullying them into doing his bidding, expecting them to snap into step at his mercurial whims. With just a handful of baffling, boorish remarks, President Trump is undermining and squandering whatever positive effects his policies could have. Why? For what purpose? I mean, why is this happening? Could the resurgence, the American resurgence, crumble just as fast as the NATO alliance has been in recent weeks in the lead up to January 16th? The list of accomplishments over the past 12 months, domestically anyway, it's quite long. It's impressive. As Mr. Hilliker brings out, I mean, it's hard not to have a lot of respect for this man. He's a man of action. But what if it's misguided? What if it's not perfectly executed? Listen to this from Secretary Besant while at the Davos conference as well. Clip two.
Just to follow on to that, so you do not believe that the EU or the UK have any retaliatory financial instruments or measures in their bag that the United States should be worried about?
No.
No. No. Europe has nothing. No retaliatory financial instruments or measures for the U.S. to worry. We are not worried about a thing. This is exactly what you read about in the morning brief. The same spirit, the same mindset, the same attitude. Lifted up with pride. He had a few other things to say about how things operate in Europe. Clip 14.
Having worked with the Europeans, my guess is their next move will be to form a working group. The dreaded European working group that
We've seen a lot of working groups.
It's hard to make decisions in Europe. It is. And sometimes...
Joe, four years into the Ukraine war, they're still buying Ukraine energy. They are buying refined products from India made from Russian oil. So 4 years in, the Europeans are still financing the war against themselves.
Okay, again, just to go back to the point I made, when the Daniel Ape Man shows up, you know, you won't be able to make fun of the working groups anymore. Because as the Bible says, Revelation 17 and verse 12, it says, and the ten horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings, it says, unto it receives power as kings 1 hour with the beast. We're talking about a beast power headed up by the Daniel Ape Man, the German beating heart of Europe. It says, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, that's a working group, so to speak, that's going to wield terrifying force. So says your Bible. He was right. He was right. Brand new edition of this booklet. It's been newly updated and expanded. There's so much to cover. I was looking at my notes today saying, how do we cover all this in 55 minutes? All these angles, such significant developments. Told my producer yesterday, it feels like we're going to be giving the same program for the next several weeks. Hopefully it won't seem like it. Hopefully it'll seem like new content as we progress. The morning brief says, only by pride comes contention. That's Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Besides stirring him to pick fights with allies like Canada, Trump's pride is riling up Europe. It seems more than Russia invading Ukraine did. I mean, there are plenty of Europeans that now see Donald Trump as a greater threat than Putin. Where is this headed? Well, Bible prophecy tells us Many prophecies, it says in the Morning Brief, show it is Europe that will bring America down. In his overconfidence, President Trump believes he is scoring a brilliant victory by kicking the hornet's nest and forcing Europe to defend itself. He is unwittingly doing the opposite. The war machine is not being built or constructed for defense. It's about to go on offense. It says here, pride goes before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, 18. It appears this Trumpian chapter in America's history could serve as the supreme example of this bitter truth in the history books of the future. I mean, the bigger the ego, the harder the fall. Listen to this from a press conference. I think it was yesterday, clip 19.
Thank you very much. First of all, last year you told me that you believe that the reason you won election is because God put you in this place so that you could save the world. Looking back 1 year, do you feel like God is proud of the effort that you've put
in? I do. Actually, I think God is very proud of the job I've done. And that includes for religion. You know, we're protecting a lot of people that are being killed, Christians and Jewish people, and lots of people are being protected by me that wouldn't be protected by another type of president. I think a lot of people are very proud of the job we've done. We've had an amazing year. This has been one of the greatest years.
There you go. God is very proud of him. Is he sure about that? Like even in fake religion, you would get people saying, you know, you see it after sports games. I mean, more and more people, I guess this quarterback for Indiana, very religious. The people after NFL playoffs, I mean, coming together at the middle, taking one knee to pray, to bow their heads. You would think you'd get even a little bit of that. But no. No, God is proud of me. It's pretty amazing. This story from Real Clear talks about King David. It says, I was in Greenland again in the year 2000 to mark the 1,000-year anniversary of Christianity's arrival in Greenland. As I reflect on that memorable occasion, I'm reminded of the powerful parable in the Bible in which the prophet Nathan tells King David about a rich man who steals a beloved lamb from his less powerful neighbor to feed it to a visiting traveler. The king is outraged. I mean, he is outraged by the selfish and bullying behavior of the rich man and demands that he face justice. But the king is brought up short when the prophet tells him, you are the man. I mean, you know this history. You're the man. It says King David's sin was stealing the beautiful Bathsheba by orchestrating the death of her husband Uriah. But his character flaw was this thoughtless greed and his high-handed abuse of his power and privilege. Let us hope that America emulates that brave young David who stood up to Goliath, not the compromised king who wrongly took something that did not belong to him. I mean, you can read about King David's repentance in Psalm 50. You know, basically, this guy's saying, you know, hopefully we get the David who was close to God and took down Goliath and gave God the credit. I mean, he showed up to the battle scene and said, listen, you guys are defying the armies of the living God. These are God's armies. And David went out when everybody else was cowering in fear. David went out with courage. He was fearless. But the David that committed adultery with Bathsheba, he had drifted far from God. God was not happy with David. King David, not at that time in his life. And so he sent a prophet to say, listen, you better look at your sins. Forget about this little ewe lamb. You better look at yourself. You better see your sins. You better see the need for repentance. You better heed the words of God's prophet. That's the message. And it's not like it's just Donald Trump that needs that message. This whole world's about to explode because of sin. There's plenty to go around. What kind of a wake-up call are the events of the past 6-7 days for Europe? Well, just listen to the speeches. Listen to what they're saying. The Washington Post: Trump's insistence on controlling Greenland has pushed transatlantic relations closer to a breaking point than leaders or analysts say that they have seen in their lifetimes. I mean, you heard it from Nigel Farage yesterday. We haven't seen anything like this since the Suez Crisis. Some of America's once closest allies say they see no choice other than to hit back and to hit back hard. But evidently that doesn't even worry Besant or Donald Trump. God's pleased with them. And there's nothing Europe can do that Besant is worried about. Nothing. Well, what about when the Daniel 8 man shows up? What about when the trade war escalates? What about when the German war machine is finished? Listen to this. This is a montage of all these leaders basically saying, look, there's a new world order now. It's not going back to the way it was. And so we've just got to accept it. The new order is basically to oppose America, to be adversarial and combative. Clip 22.
On the other hand, I would like to tell you that the other countries, especially intermediate powers like Canada, are not powerless. They have the capacity to build a new order that encompasses our values.
The decades of Pax Americana are largely over for us in Europe and also for us in Germany. It no longer exists as we knew it. And nostalgia is of no help here.
Let me be direct. We are in the midst of a rupture, not a transition. Over the past 2 decades, a series of crises in finance, health, energy, and geopolitics have laid bare the risks of extreme global integration.
If this change is permanent, then Europe must change permanently too. It is time to seize this opportunity and build a new independent Europe.
We know the old order is not coming back. We shouldn't mourn it. Nostalgia is not a strategy. But we believe that from the fracture, we can build something bigger, better, stronger, more just.
The seismic change we are going through today is an opportunity, in fact, a necessity, to build a new form of European independence. Europe must speed up its push for independence, from security to economy, from defense to democracy. Having the dialogue with our friends and partners, also if necessary with adversaries. The point is that the world has changed permanently and we need to change with it. And therefore, thank you and long live Europe.
Long live Europe. I mean, it has a long legacy. A lot of history. Goes back a lot further than America's history. And what about some of those historical roots that they take pride in? Well, you need to read our book. I don't think it's up here. The Holy Roman Empire in prophecy. The Bible says we're waiting on the 7th and final resurrection. And we're in the early stages of it forming. The empire's there. It just lacks the emperor. Deutsche Welle says by threatening some of the closest U.S. allies with tariffs to coerce them into supporting his plans to annex Greenland from Denmark, a NATO member, Trump has raised the stakes several notches higher. For the European leaders, the tariff threat is yet another major blow. to the already damaged transatlantic relationship, the European Union has hit back against Trump's threats. You'll see now, more and more, it's the European Union. And even then, the European Union is weak. And the Bible prophesies it's going to be a mixture of iron and clay. It is going to be refashioned in some form or another. Revelation, I read it to you earlier. Revelation 17 tells us this. It's going to be 10 kings. So we know, I mean, there's other articles I have even on that point. I mean, everything is unfolding exactly the way the Bible said that it would. It says here, the episode has once again underscored Europe's need to shrug off its complacency and reassess its reliance on the U.S. for everything from defense to technology, a theme that's also a big talking point in Davos. Quotes von der Leyen, which you saw there in the montage. Mark Carney, by the way, I mean, he had some of the strongest words of anti-Americanism. The Canadian premier, and they're probably pushing him out there to say what they're really thinking, the European elites, because they're still at a point where, you know, you don't want to just totally offend Donald Trump. But even there, I mean, that's changing. Like I said at the top, I mean, the adversarial combative tone, it's all around. Europe's just missing its strongman. But the machine, the military machine, is being constructed. I played bits from this clip yesterday on the show. This is von der Leyen talking about the speed at which Germany, Europe, is building up a military, a force. Clip 16.
Ladies and gentlemen, whether on trade or business, capital or energy, Europe needs an urgency mindset. As global competition gets ruthless, we must show real ambition, especially in those sectors vital for our independence. Take defense, for example. We have done more on defense in the last year than in decades before.
So, again, we've just talked this week about the one-year anniversary. All that Donald Trump has done in 1 year. It's a long list. Now, take this past year for Europe and building up its war machine. As she said there, we've done more this past year than we've done in decades. So what happens after another year of speeding things up, of pouring more money into it? Another year of that alliance being completely broken, the transatlantic alliance. Well, just project ahead a little bit. Have some vision. And you know what's coming. This Politico piece talks about Franco-German tensions jeopardizing the EU's drive for a common front against Donald Trump. I mean, here again, when you understand the 10 toes, the 10 kings, you can the European Union, as it exists today, it is going to blow up in some form or fashion. But that doesn't mean the empire isn't coming. It is. Berlin is promising a common position with Paris to deal with Trump, but the EU's most important relationship is mired in problems. Just as Europe needs its Franco-German power couple to unite to tackle U.S. President Donald Trump's growing menace to Greenland, relations between Paris and Berlin are under strain. There's a lot of power playing. There's a lot of pride to go around. This tweet that I saw underneath this article says the Germans and the French are already fighting over how to respond to Trump. France wants to act tough, but have Germany pay for everything because France has massive budget issues and can't afford to do anything. Germany is massively outspending France on military spending and aid to Ukraine, but France's Macron wants to take the leadership role. See, there's all kinds of infighting, haggling, lots of pride, lots of human nature. And then it says, when the strong man appears, well, then all 10 kings are going to have one mind. They're going to be in agreement. And they're going to have power. They're going to have that iron-like power for just a short period of time. Everything, as I say, unfolding exactly the way God said that it would. My father wrote an article, September 2018, Germany and Russia's secret war against America. I mean, now it's not so much a secret. Now, I mean, Europe sees, Germany sees Trump as a greater threat. January 16th, of all days, we're going to send some German troops into Greenland. It says here, America spent billions raising Germany from the rubble of World War II and billions more keeping the peace in Europe. You see, and that's true. And when Trump gets up there and says everybody's been taking advantage of the United States, I mean, that's pretty much true. But the United States put all those billions in there. If you go back to why they established NATO in the first place, the first NATO general guy, he said, it's to keep Germany down. It's to make sure Germany doesn't have a military. That was the whole point. It's to keep Germany, it's to keep America in. And America was in Europe for decades. It says here, Germany would not be where it is today without the vast amount of help America supplied. President Trump mentioned this. Well, he quotes Trump. This is going back to the first term. But again, he did come in, you'll remember, and he called them out. You're not even paying 2%, and actually it should be 5%. Why are we paying for everything? So now we've gone from that, getting others to pay into it, the defense of their own country. Now we've gone from that to, well, now they're paying 5%, but the alliance is severed. The alliance is being, it's being separated, and it's going to be a permanent divorce. So what we're left with is all these European powers just waiting for the emperor. But these powers that are coming together and that are in the process right now of building a war machine, they're going to have it. Donald Trump is going to have his wish, a strong Europe. What was that clip? We played it for you yesterday. This is President Trump from back in June, last summer, clip 18.
Is Germany doing enough on defense?
The Chancellor wants to spend
3.5.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't discussed it very much. I know that you're spending more money on defense now, and quite a bit more money. That's a positive thing. I'm not sure that General MacArthur would have said it's positive. You know, he wouldn't like it, but I sort of think it's good. You understand what I mean by that?
I understand.
He made a statement: never let Germany rearm. And I said, I always think about that when he says, sir, we're spending more money on defense. I say, ooh, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I think it's a good thing. But, you know, at least to a certain point. There'll be a point when I'll say, please don't arm anymore if you don't mind.
God is very proud. He believes God is really, really proud of him. He disagrees with MacArthur and Churchill. And if Abraham Lincoln and George Washington were here, he'd blow them away politically. And Germany needs to have a new and very modern military machine, a war machine. And we want a strong Europe. My father says in this article, why would Germany be spurning that history? Many elite Germans feel their nation has now gotten all it can from the U.S. and they're ready to move on. I mean, here again, tomorrow's news today. This was an article at the Trumpet in 2018. Some of the players along the way, the faces changed, but you know, the prophecy is the same. You get rid of the globalist technocrats and replace them with the Daniel 8 man and his 10 kings? And everything's going to look very different. And it'll happen fast. And if there's anything the last year has shown us, it's that prophecies are accelerating. Fulfilled prophecy. It's accelerating. You have the technocrats out front, but what about the German industrialists? We've had articles on that over the years. What about when the mind change happens, like it's described in Nahum and Habakkuk? This world, I mean, Satan and his demons are confined to this earth. We went through the passage in the Gospels this morning where, you know, the demons, they understand and know there's power in Jesus Christ and God the Father. And they have to submit to that power. Christ was dealing with a madman who had a legion of demons. He was possessed by a legion. He asked the demon, "What's your name?" And the demon said, "We don't have a name. There's a legion of us. There's too many." I mean, this man had a spiritual demonic army. And Jesus Christ cast them all out. Then they went off the cliff with that herd of swine. We better be drawing on the power of God. If we're relying on pride, if we're relying on ourselves, if we're putting our trust in man, well, we're going to end up running off the cliff. We're not going to survive. We won't be strong enough. It says here, they've gotten all they can from the U.S., and now they're ready to move on. Some powerful Germans today are thinking more and more about the Holy Roman Empire, and they want modern Germany to assume more power of its own in the spirit of that empire. They want to establish Europe as a mighty German-led superpower. And as part of this plot, and this is what's astounding, mind-boggling, is that the current leadership of the United States of America, they want a German-led superpower in Europe. President Trump said so today. We want a strong Europe. We want a strong military for Germany. We want to get our forces out of Europe. We want you to take care of Ukraine. Well, they're about to get all those wishes. These Germans know that NATO is an obstacle to their goal. Back when NATO was first founded, its first Secretary General explained its main purpose: keep the Russians out, the Americans in, and the Germans down. NATO was created to keep the Americans in and to keep the Germans down. And so the German industrialists, the German elites, at least behind closed doors, they see NATO as an obstacle to building a war machine, to going after the United States for a third time in just one century. What are they behind closed doors? There's a combination of just seething hatred for President Trump. And at the same time, there's jubilation. They're celebrating because they know NATO is done. The transatlantic alliance is severed. And now we can go forward with the empire, the Holy Roman Empire. The notion of keeping the Germans down directly contradicts the imperialistic ambitions that are growing more intense among many elite Germans today. That's my father writing in 2018. And it's another way of saying Germany wants war. They want it. That's another takeaway from what we're seeing happen, just even in the last week. Germany's antipathy toward NATO is also clear in the fact that the country only spends about half the minimum amount the organization requires member states to spend. I mean, this is the only outdated point here. Now they're spending it. Now they're changing laws so that they can borrow more money to spend it on military hardware, the machine. says here, now President Trump has called Germany out on its failure to meet that requirement. And I think rightfully so. Well, that was 2018. They weren't paying anything. They were relying on the American umbrella for protection against forces like Vladimir Putin's Russia. What a different world we're living in now. The Wall Street Journal, just to switch over to the economy for a minute. This is from the Journal. Greenland clash risks undermining America's place in world economic order. Escalating tensions over Greenland are supercharging a dynamic that was already underway, a shift in the world economic order that had put the U.S. at the center of the global economy. For investors the world over, America has long been a beacon of safety when uncertainty reigns, a nation whose deep and liquid financial markets are the premier destination for capital and home of a currency that is the something Roman or Latin, international safe haven, let's call it that. That is changing. That's changing. Trump's combative economic and foreign policies are compelling countries to invest elsewhere. I was telling Sam Livingston this morning, you know, Donald Trump, he looked angry. He's very angry about what is happening in Europe. He's angry that they're not appreciative. He's angry that they won't give him Greenland. You wonder if maybe some of the anger stems from knowing that, hey, we better be careful. I mean, judging by what Besant says, maybe not. Maybe they have just total trust, 100% confidence in themselves. But when will reality set in? Well, let's see. What happens if we're frozen out of markets? What happens if they look elsewhere for trade partners? What happens when they have a military force that's massive and powerful? Maybe this could be a little dangerous. Either way, I mean, obviously, you're seeing a lot of pride, you're seeing a lot of anger, and you're obviously seeing a lot of demonic activity. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world. And everything that we're seeing is of this world. It's of Satan's world. This article, the Wall Street Journal, it says, Adam Posen, president of this institute, said the circumstances now are different from last year. He points not just to the escalating Greenland tensions, but the U.S. military intervention in Venezuela, the Justice Department's probe of Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, and the administration's threat of new tariffs against countries in Europe despite its previous deals. It says here, I think there is a much better chance that we're going to look back and say this was the turning point. This was the turning point. It's like I said in quoting Richard Palmer's article the other day. You know, we're going to look back 6-8 months from now, we're going to look back at what's happened around January 16th this year. At what's happened around this week and say, wow, I think that was the turning point. We'll just squeeze in this clip. We've played it before from Mr. Armstrong, but this is from a show, or rather is, I think, a message he gave back in 1984, clip 3.
But I believe that some event is going to happen suddenly, just like out of the blue sky, that is going to shock the whole world and is going to cause the nations of Europe to realize they must unite. Well, he said he believed that would have to happen too. Well, now I think I can see what may be the very event that is going to trigger it, and that is the economic situation in the world.
The event that triggers the union of those 10 kings, the economic situation. You could add trade to that as well. A new world economy. We're in the early stages of it. Everything is being realigned. And the one thing that you see across the board outside of America is a world that's uniting against the United States. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. I took you a little bit over, but we won't charge you for that extra minute. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily, and we hope to see you again tomorrow.